Hey guys, thanks for joining me for this 111th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include actress, comedian, and writer Jamie Loftus. We'll be talking about her new podcast, The Ackcast. We'll also visit with Power sports agent Nicole Lynn. Got a new book to talk about, Agent You. Show up, do the work, and succeed on your own terms. That's available now. And we'll also visit with actor David Chokichi. Got a brand new movie, Last Call in the Doghouse, which is available today. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and share with your friends. Now, do you remember in Happy Gilmore when he fights the alligator? Well, this might be the closest thing you'll see to it in real life. There's a mini golf course in Daytona Beach, Florida called Congo River that also has alligators you can feed, and yesterday morning, some guy stole one. Well, just after 3 a.m., police spotted a man fighting an alligator on the street, and it turned out he'd stolen it from the course. He's 32 and his name is William Hodge, but he goes by Bubba. Police posted a photo of him being handcuffed, and the alligator looks fairly small, maybe 4 or 5 feet long. According to the police report, cops saw him swinging it around by its tail and trying to toss it on the roof of a building. So they arrested him, and when they asked why he was doing it, he said he was trying to teach the gator a lesson. He also told them he jumped a fence into its enclosure and had to wrestle the gator for a while. But it sounds like it's okay and back home now. Bubba facing charges for theft, burglary, criminal mischief, and animal cruelty. Got a new podcast I'm interested to talk about, the story behind this one, Ackcathy. And if I pronounce that wrong, I'm so sorry, Jamie. Jamie Loftus with us today. And first off, Jamie, appreciate you taking some time.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk.
Now, when did Kathy become something of interest for you?
I remember the comics from being a little kid seeing them in the newspaper, but I definitely didn't get it. I knew that she was like one of the only women in the pages, but she doesn't have the problems of children. It's not a comic for kids. It's a comic for adult women. And so I remember that my mom loved it. And I remembered that a lot of people seemed to not like it, but I also didn't understand why. During the lockdown last year, there was this kind of resurgence of those comics because Kathy Geiswhite, who made them for 35 years, started posting new ones on Instagram. And so I thought they were very cool and they're very funny. And so I decided to kind of go back and take a full look at what those comics actually were and whether that criticism that she seemed to be constantly getting was based in anything. And so that was kind of how I got. And then in lockdown, I had time to read 10,000 Kathy comics. So I did that.
Yeah, I was going to say you had the time for the research, didn't you?
Yeah, it was kind of a rare moment.
Jamie, being a TV writer, comedian and all that, when did you put your foot into the podcasting?
I started doing podcasts about 5 years ago, almost, with just kind of like on a whim with my friend Caitlin Durante. And we've been doing a movie podcast that takes a look at famous movies using a feminist lens called The Bechdel Cast in 2016. And I really liked the format, and I liked kind of how you can bring different comedic elements that are harder to bring to stage. And so as time went on, I realized that it would be kind of just a cool way to create series and projects around things that I was interested in anyways and share it with other people. So I've done 3 series that are kind of deep dives into topics that I think are interesting. And there was one about Mensa and how horrible IQ societies were. There's one about Lolita and kind of the all of the cultural baggage that came with that story. And after that, I was like, I want to do a fun, lighthearted one. And so that's kind of where Kathy came in. And it's been such a fun couple of months putting this together.
Now, the writing process of this podcast, how long as a writer for a podcast, how long do episodes or serials take for you?
Well, I'm not done yet. It always takes way longer than I think it will. It kind of depends on the episode. There's some episodes that I'm kind of leaning more heavily on interviews, and that's not quite as difficult. But there was a few episodes in this series that took me months to finish. Wow. Because I had to, you know, do all of this reading and track down all of these people to talk to. So it kind of varies, but usually for a series like this, it takes me about 4 or 5 months to get everything done top to bottom.
And you don't miss any of those little check marks. You get them all checked, right, before you step away.
Of course.
Now, Jamie, this last year, the way we've had to deal with COVID, the way we've had to deal with being remote, what is the biggest thing that you learned about yourself that as things are opening up, you're taking advantage of?
I think a lot of what I felt very lucky to be able to work from home in the first place during COVID. And I was able to learn a lot more about things that I should have known about anyways, really, but learning about how to get involved in mutual aid efforts in my neighborhood and how to kind of incorporate that into my daily life and routine inside and outside of quarantine. And then on the other end, I learned that there is like such a potential to connect with other people over things that kind of seem innocuous. I've had such a good time putting these shows together over the last year and a half now, because it's kind of cool to just feel like, hey, here's this thing. And everyone has some sort of connection to it one way or another, and use it kind of as like a tool to talk to each other and hang out. And I've also been eating a lot of hot dogs. Like there's been a lot of stuff going on. So it's nice to be at a hot dog restaurant again as well.
That's right. Now, the character of Kathy, tell us how you implemented the comics into a new reality. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. So with the character, I mean, she's so distinct where you can kind of guess how she would react to any given situation. So once I had spoken with Kathy Geiswhite and really, you know, gotten to know the character, there are moments in the podcast as it goes on where I'll just have conversations with her and kind of try to have a modern conversation with the character, which is such a blast to do, because it's like, again, yeah, you can basically know how Kathy's going to react in any given situation. And we have such an amazing voice actor playing her, Jackie Michelle Johnson, who it truly does feel like we like shut our cameras off on Zoom and you do feel like you're talking to a cartoon character. It's wild.
What's the biggest challenge for you in the podcasting realm?
I think that the biggest challenge is and this is like a good problem and a bad problem, is there is like such a demand for things and content, and, you know, people want it fast, but they also want it thorough, and they also want it to be new and interesting. And I a lot of this is just like pressure I put on myself, but sometimes I'm like, I wish I had like, you know, 45 more minutes to finish stuff, because I've never ceased to be amazed. And my listeners are amazing. And there are occasional moments where it's like, guys, it's a free show. And I don't have a ton of time to put it together, but you know, you want to like do a good job and do right by people who are taking their time to listen to you. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm constantly spiraling about that.
That's awesome. Now, at Kathy the podcast, I want to make sure and let folks know where they can find the episodes, and not only that, but social media and everything else you've got going on as well.
Yeah. So the show is ACCast, A-A-C-K cast, or you could just search my name, Jamie Lossis, and it'll come up. I know it's a mouthful. And yeah, we have 4 episodes out so far, and there's going to be 8 episodes total. So we'll be going for the next month.
There you go. Well, Jamie, it has been a privilege to visit with you. I appreciate you taking some time, and I'm going to spend some time with the podcast this afternoon.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Do want to say thanks to our sponsor for today's podcast, Smiley's Breezy Vapes, located at 313 Falcon Road. They've always got great Red Basket specials going on. They've got the latest hardware, plus the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. For more information, just stop in and see them at 313 Falcon Road in Altus, or you can call or text at 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. Now, Dan Aykroyd's liquor brand, Crystal Head Vodka, did a poll to find out which drinks we're more likely to order when we're on vacation. Now, at home, we're more likely to choose easy-to-make drinks like gin and tonics or vodka cranberries. At parties, we prefer fancy drinks like a martini or old-fashioned. And on vacation, we're more likely to drink daiquiris, tequila sunrises, and Moscow mules. Now, they also asked people what they'd do for an extra two-week vacation that they could go on immediately. And here's what people said. Number one, would you take a bath in ice-cold water? 45% said yes. Number two, work every weekend for the next year. 43% said yes. And if you're talking Saturday and Sunday, that's around 100 extra days of work for just 10 days off. Number three, not celebrate any holidays for a year? 38% claim they'd do it. Number four, take a 10% pay cut? 37% said yes. And if you're on salary, 2 weeks' pay only represents around 4% of what you make in a year. And number five, give up your favorite food? 36% said they'd do it. Now, 30% would also cancel Netflix, 27% would give up social media for a year, and 17% would post their worst selfie online. Got a new book we're going to be talking about, her debut book, Agent You, Show Up, Do the Work, and Succeed on Your Own Terms. That came out on the 13th. And with that in mind, we've got sports agent, power sports agent at that, Nicole Lynn on with us. And first off, Nicole, thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course, of course. You know, I'm from Oklahoma, and so I would not miss this interview for the world.
For you, Nicole, how did getting into the agent world, and especially NFL, I mean, how did that even be a dream of yours coming up, if you will?
So I went to the University of Oklahoma for my undergrad and college of law. And while I was there, I met a lot of athletes that were football players. And many of those, yeah, of course, yes, a lot of great players there. Many of those kind of had similar upbringings as me. You know, I definitely grew up in kind of a rough situation, you know, in childhood poverty. And many of those players would kind of come from where I came from and then go to the league and become millionaires. And then somehow they trickle back, you know, rags to riches to rags. And I kind of saw that early on in college and said, man, how can I help these young athletes? These are my peers. And so I ended up eventually moving to New York City, working on Wall Street, originally thinking I was going to be a financial advisor for the athletes. Once I learned that sports agent was really what I wanted to do, I went back to Oklahoma and went to law school, and kind of the rest is history.
And how hard was it to make that break into the industry? Were there barriers, or was it maybe a little more welcoming than you thought originally?
You know, there's definitely barriers. I'd say the industry was very welcoming. I think it was a little bit more difficult with the prospects and the clients. You know, these prospects sitting there with their family members are used to seeing men walk in the room. And so when they saw someone that looked like me, I think there's always that moment of kind of sticker shock. And, you know, that part was a little tough, and I had to prove my credibility and build a name. And so there was definitely additional hurdles that I don't think my male counterparts had to deal with, but the NFL was very welcoming.
And when did the idea for the book come to you? And was it something that was with a little consternation that you agreed to it?
You know, it's funny. I actually was writing the book for several years, not thinking about it being an actual book, but more so just writing down my tips. So, if I had some free time, I'd pull up my laptop and write a chapter on, you know, how to be successful, or what, you know, write down a story from that day. And so it really was something I'd worked on for a couple of years, and one day kind of thought, maybe this could be a book.
And what has been your reaction to the feedback? I mean, what's it like to get the feedback from the readers and other leaders as well that see the insight that you're giving?
Man, it is so amazing. I love, you know, part of my life's purpose is really mentorship and inspiring. And I feel like this book does exactly that. And so I just feel really blessed to be able to reach so many people.
And I know one of the tenets in there is discovering and staying focused on your purpose. And your purpose isn't always so easy to find, is it, Nicole?
You know, sometimes it can be difficult. And so I actually include an entire chapter on finding your purpose. You know, I think it's not super easy, but it shouldn't be impossible. And so in the book, I equate purpose to your superpower, right? You know, when you think about the Hulk, you think of his superhuman strength. Mm-hmm. Think about Superman, you think about his ability to fly. What do people think about when they think of you? And so I kind of walk the reader through finding that life purpose and trying to really make it the most important mission of your life.
And with the times of social media that we live in, I mean, and I battle with this as well, in marketing is over promoting yourself. What do you say to that when somebody brings that idea to you?
Oh, man. That's not even a thing. You know, you're in social media. I'd post on social and I used to have certain agents, you know, peer agents that weren't into social media and just say, oh, you're just posting about yourself. But yeah, I am. It's my social media page. That's what you do. You know, women, I think are, you know, very self-deprecating. As I try to teach in the book that, you know, we need to be able to speak up for ourselves and be comfortable with saying what we've been able to do successfully. You know, there's a line between humble and cocky. And I think sometimes women are overly humble. And so making sure we have that confidence to say, hey, yeah, I'm very good at what I do. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right. And again, the book, Agent You, Show Up, Do the Work and Succeed on Your Own Terms. And Nicole, this is something that we can, whether we're agents or in the entertainment industry or anything, there's tenets in here for every walk of life.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this book is not about being a sports agent. It's about being your own agent in life, no matter what you do for a living. It's about, you know, it'll teach you how to advocate for yourself, how to get a seat at the table, and how to unapologetically live in your purpose.
And Nicole, you talk about taking chances. How hard is it to know when to really go out on a limb?
Yeah. You know, in the book, I call it, you know, the Hail Mary, which is a football term. I believe that every person in their personal or professional life has to take a Hail Mary at some point. It's the big gut-wrenching jump that you've got to do, you know, you've got to do to become successful or to get to that next level. And the timing of that can be very difficult. And so, you know, in the book, I talk about preparing for that Hail Mary and how to identify when's the best time to take it.
That's right. Well, again, the new book, Agent You, Show Up, Do the Work, and Succeed on Your Own Terms. Proud to have an OU Sooner alum on with us, Nicole Lynn. I want to make sure and let our listeners know not only where to find more about the book, but everything you got to go on social media-wise as well.
Yes. Agent Nicole Lynn is my Instagram, Twitter, and my website. So Agent Nicole Lynn. And then please get the book, Agent You. It's everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, small bookstores. You name it, it's there.
That's right. Well, Nicole, it has been a privilege to have the chance to visit with you. Wish you continued success, a great weekend, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
I do want to say thanks to our sponsor for today's podcast, Smiley's Breezy Vapes, located at 313 Falcon Road. They've always got great Red Basket specials going on. They've got the latest hardware, plus the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. For more information, just stop in and see them at 313 Falcon Road in Altus, or you can call or text at 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8255. 73. Well, here's a new health condition to worry about. And it's got a catchy name you won't forget. Did you suffer from dead butt syndrome last year? Well, dead butt syndrome, or DBS, is when you experience pain, numbness, or tingling in and around your butt muscles, and it's usually from sitting too much. Doctors have seen it a lot more since the pandemic hit because we've been less active, and we've also been working from the couch, which doesn't help. Dead butt syndrome isn't a formal diagnosis, it's a catch-all term that doctors use for various things that can make your butt feel like it's given up on you. If it ever has felt like your butt fell asleep, that's kind of what DBS is like. But if it just happens once in a while, your butt is probably still alive and well. If it happens a lot and lasts more than an hour or two, you might have a dead butt. But the good news is it's reversible and preventable. To reduce your risk for DBS, just stand up and stretch every 30 minutes. In general, more movement should help.
You might remember him from small screen and big screen from before. Got a brand new movie that we got to talk about today, Last Call in the Doghouse. We've got David Chokichi with us today. And hey, I spit it out at least once, David.
Yeah, you got it right, man. I'm proud of you. Very good.
Now, David, to have a new movie that is available right now for obviously for purchase online, what's it like and how different are the times putting things out these days for you?
Yeah, it's it's definitely a different world where we're out there. This Last Call in the Doghouse is a feature film that we shot, and it's actually being released today at stonypointentertainment.com, who is our distributor. So anybody who wants to check out the movie, they can go to Stony Point Entertainment and purchase it and download it and watch it. And it's a different arena for sure. A lot of these movies, there's a huge demand for content from all these media streaming platforms, and we've been lucky enough to find homes for some of our movies at Amazon Prime. We're trying another one of our projects at Netflix. So there's so many different venues to try and launch out your project into. There's a lot of different opportunities, but also at the same time, there's so much more competition. Everybody wants to be in TV, and everybody wants to be doing a series because that's where the most stability is, and your career longevity is in that. So it's I adapt whatever the kind of the environment is doing, and just go, just be prepared, be ready to go, and do my best.
That's right. Now, The Last Call in the Doghouse, it's been described, I heard it described, Cheers meets Field of Dreams. And David, give us a little insight into the new film.
So I play a character named Dog, and when you spell that backwards, it's God. And I actually do play God, which is interesting. We're very mortal, more mortal versions of. I'm a mortal version of God in the sense that I'm in this human physical body, and I happen to own a dive bar. In this movie, in this feature. The dive bar happens to be in New York City, and it's run by myself and my two sons. One is Jess, who's this, and one is Mo, who's Moses. And then Nancy Butler is Mary. So we have this dive bar, and around closing time, these characters come in to our bar, and they're usually burdened with some heavy trauma or some sort of something in their life that has really had a negative impact on them. And they come in, and through exploration and conversation, we start to pry out these traumas that these people have experienced, and then we actually will flash back in time to their exact trauma, and we will go with them, and then in that flashback, we will actually help them alleviate the pain that they're suffering, and help understand why they're why they're dealing with what they're dealing. So it's a magical movie. It's like one of the most proud movies I've made. It's just got a beautiful message about human beings and how flawed we are as humans. But in the end, there's that we're not unique in the sense that our problems are fixable. We can be healed. And that's the message we're putting out with Last Call in the Doghouse.
And right now, David, I don't think there's any better time than to say, we're all going through stuff, but we're all not that different either.
Exactly. I mean, this is the timing of our movie, along with what everybody's dealing with. It couldn't have been, people will love to have this message, and you'll laugh and cry and be exhilarated just watching this, so you'll go through all the range of emotions. And I think it is. It's inspiring in the sense of like how the humans on this planet as a collective, how are we coming out of this pandemic, or how are we dealing with it, and the fact that it's, you know, maybe getting worse again and all this. So we have to hang on to hope. We have to hang on to inspiration, positivity, all those things in order to, you know, to stay mentally healthy, spiritually, physically, emotionally healthy. We have to, you know, do those certain things for ourselves.
David, in this last time, like you said, as we spent our time alone, what was one of the things that you really worked on, maybe on your craft?
You know, I kind of put it down for the beginning of the pandemic. There was really nothing. So I'm also a carpenter, and we had moved into a new house, so I was doing all these carpentry jobs all through the pandemic, because that's keeps my mind and my body, brain, and everything busy. But also, I motivated myself to, I went out to Joshua Tree and shot some content for myself, and through that content, I'm editing like a message. It's kind of a story. It'll be like a standalone pilot of about being in nature and how nature can heal us. I have a lot of different things. I have a couple movies. I'm about to start shooting one in Connecticut, then in July, and then we are scheduled to shoot the sequel to Last Call in the Doghouse mid-August here in L.A. And that one, the title of that is In Dog We Trust. So what we're hoping to do is myself and Bruce Reisman, the writer-director who wrote Last Call in the Doghouse, we're hoping to do one of these a year and do, I don't know, 8 to 10 of them over the next bit of time. And they're just beautiful movies, and the characters change somewhat, but at the core they will remain the same in terms of my character and Aaron Fors and Adam Jacobs. Those three are kind of like the foundation for the show, and then there's a bunch of other amazingly talented actors that come in: Parker Stevenson, Yancey Butler, Judy Geeson, who else? Amanda Jenkins. It's a really talented cast, and yeah, it's one of those movies people are going to watch, and just you're going to talk about it after, and you're going to feel uplifted that there is hope and that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And it's even though we think maybe darkness is all consuming, there is a way out and there is light.
That's good stuff. And again, the new movie Last Call in the Doghouse is available now. And David, I want to make sure and let our listeners know again where they can find more information about the film.
Yes, at the website for the distributor, which is www.sonypointentertainment.com. There's a ton of information on that website, behind the scene, like the trailer, and other information's on there. And then through all the social media handles for like myself, and we're all putting out a fair amount of information, trying to, you know, increase the viewership and get the movie launched out there into the entire world.
It's a different world, isn't it, David?
Yeah, it is. It is, man.
Well, David, it has truly been a privilege to have the chance to visit with you. I hope you have a great weekend. Happy release day to you, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
All right, great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 111th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at GQWithCam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store, where we've got hoodies, shirts, mugs, tumblers, stickers, and more. That's GQWithCam.com/shop. Of course, if you have a special guest idea, email me, GQWithCam@gmail.com. Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out. Hope you guys have a great weekend.